The Functional Health Radio on this station and also streaming online on NorthIdahoRadio.com. I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness coach and I own a gym in Sandpoint called The Shed. And I'm here with my friend Jill Kahn. And Jill is a marriage and family therapist. And she has a practice here in Sandpoint. And every month we come together. We talk a lot about everything. But in particular, we share ideas and discuss topics on mental health issues, relationships, and fitness. On today's show, and I think it's great because we were putting together ideas, we came up with the same thing. So yeah, it was kind of fun. But a lot of people are experiencing some anxiety now as things are getting a little scary with COVID cases and rules, and you have to have a card for the, you know, there's a lot of anxiety that's building.
Yes.
And I wanted to talk about being more of a listening with empathy, which I think will help us maybe through this. But you also have some strategies for handling anxiety, which I can completely relate to. And then also, I thought this was great. There are 5 common toxic things that parents do to their kids. So we'll cover that as well. So how are you, Jill?
Oh, I was just telling you, it's been a really intense weekend. So we had the dual engagement party for my 2 elder kids.
Oh, so both of the kids had the party.
Wow. Yes. So it was a joint party because they got engaged within 2 weeks of each other. So Cammie and Nick came up from Boise, and Ben and Ellie were here. And so we had a party. And, yeah, and of course, in these crazy times, not only is the concern about COVID and Delta, but also the smoke.
Okay, the smoke
and the heat
is driving me nuts.
It's driving all of us nuts, I think. So it was an unusual gathering, but fun. We had a great time. But these are challenging times between all of those things, right? Mm. It's unprecedented, the smoke, the heat, and then you throw in, I've had 5 people in the last few weeks cancel because of positive COVID tests.
Yeah, it's kind of coming back.
I hadn't had any in a year and a half. Mm-hmm. So this is very strange.
Yeah.
I guess maybe not a year and a half, but a long time. And so, yes, I think we're on alert.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't know what's happening. Should we wear a mask? Should we not? Mm-hmm. And all of that creates a lot of anxiety.
For sure. Yeah. I know some people who have COVID, and gosh, I just hope everyone gets through it all right.
Me too.
You know,
because the people,
it's been
a
long haul.
Yeah. And I think the people that I've spoken to have had pretty significant reactions to it. It wasn't just, 24 hours, 48. It was weeks and still feeling fatigued.
I had a couple come in last week who are going to start at the gym, and it's been 6 months since they had COVID, and they're just now starting to feel like they can start working out.
Wow.
So it really affected them. And one of the husband, he had asthma, and so that was a contributing factor.
Bad.
He did get it worse, but the wife also. And so it's just like when you're presented with it that close and you hear their story, I just have so much sympathy for the people who are going through it.
Yes, me too.
Yeah.
So how about you? What's going on in your life?
Well, I am struggling with the smoke, and I always prided myself with my lungs, as a runner. But a few years ago, I made bad choices running the relays, the long mileage, 42 miles in smoky conditions.
Oh.
Where you're running at night with a headlamp and you can see the ash falling.
Oh, gee.
And that was a bad move.
Yeah.
So now every time when it's like today, I feel it in my lungs. So if my voice gets scratchy, sorry, folks. But I do feel it. And I don't know. Do people kind of get depressed lack of light?
I think that these conditions do cause both anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't understand why we're feeling off,
mm-hmm,
or why it seems to be more difficult to get ourselves back. But these happen at a very subliminal level.
Yeah.
You don't realize how all of this is affecting
you.
But I've had some sort of like,
it's like that. What is the seasonal affective disorder? Where yesterday I just woke up flat.
Yes.
And it was like, oh, you know why? Because you still can't see the mountains.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Right. So there's this sort of underlying blue that I feel sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And surprising because there's so many good things happening in my life, but I do think that's part of it.
I think it's super important to focus on everything that's good.
Yes.
Like harvesting the garden brings me so much joy right now. Getting excited about my eggplants.
Yes.
You know, it's little things. Yeah. We go back to when we were shut down with COVID. We talked about it on the show. It's the little things to focus on that, yes, that make a difference. I am having so much fun with my work right now.
Oh, good.
And it's, I'm, for whatever reason, I'm getting growth in the older adult population. So 75 to 87 years old.
Wow.
And these are people that have been sitting, several of them because they had loss in their life, where their husband died 5 years ago or 7 years ago, and all they did was stop moving.
Wow.
So they've been sitting in a chair, or they'll get together and go to maybe one of their nonprofit club meetings, but really not doing anything, and they're getting horrible back pain, and finally they're just fed up, and I think, well, good. So they came in, and they've just from a week of movement – twice a week, they're getting out of pain. And to see these people smile again is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So those are the things that I'm focusing on, is making differences with so many new, neat people that are just that. You just want to listen. And I listen to them.
Yeah.
They have a story to tell.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the healing too. So,
well, the joy for me has been the puppies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
For sure.
And I have, Alex and I both said, what a great experience.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how these little beings just bring you laughter and smiles and the cuddling, and they're water dogs already. They're like,
oh my gosh,
they're almost 11 weeks old, but they get in the water and swim.
That is
and
great.
So cute.
Yeah. So did you keep a puppy?
Two.
Whoa. Well, look at you go, growing that family.
Indeed.
I wanted to also talk, are you taking care of yourself? You know, you're in a field that is so overwhelmed as a therapist. Are you bringing, I'm bringing self-care back into my life.
I'm trying really hard to do that. I'm spending, yeah, a lot of time in or on the water,
yeah,
which gives me an incredible, mm, joy. My paddleboarding really is, that's my meditation and my joy. And, but yeah, I'm really trying. And what I notice is when I get stressed, you know, how do I navigate that? But I'm aware of it and trying to find some things to recalibrate. But,
yeah,
but yeah, I have a very high need for self-care right now.
Yeah. Good. So am I. And that's why I get to get a massage after this.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I'm bringing it back because I was noticing I wasn't getting, my sleep was broken up throughout the night. And that's usually my first sign.
Yeah.
And then my body just was feeling, my joints were hurting and muscle pain that I don't normally have. So it's time to give back to myself. So I encourage everyone to take care of yourselves as we venture into the new.
Yes.
All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll start talking about how to manage this anxiety we might be feeling.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
This is Functional Health Radio.
Get organized with Pro-X Home Decor Center's organized living storage solutions. Customize your space with quality shelving, chrome baskets, shoe shelves, tie-in belt racks, valet rods, and drawers. This custom shelving and storage system is what dream storage areas are made of, with a traditional style and decorative appeal. Pro-X Home Decor Center, serving Bonner, Boundary, and Lincoln counties. Pro-X Home Center, your hometown everything store.
Pace Kirby Insurance and Real Estate has been serving Boundary County for over 100 years, and they've built their reputation through good service, honesty, and stability. Come to Pace Kirby in downtown Bonners Ferry for insurance of all kinds, life insurance, supplemental health, and also Safeco Auto Insurance. Pace Kirby also sells real estate, including acreage, both large and small, farms, timberland, and creek and river property. Call 267-3123. That's 267-3123 for Pace Kirby, when experience counts.
Shiloh Inns are open and ready to welcome you back. Hello, I'm Mark Hemstreet, owner of Shiloh Inns. While we practice social distancing, we're still always committed to providing clean, safe, comfortable rooms and friendly service. Shiloh hotel guests and employees deserve the peace of mind knowing that we are always focused on maintaining high standards of cleaning and safety practices. Our American spirit is alive and strong. And while we're all going through these unprecedented historical times, we can face these challenges together. Although we may wear face masks, there are no restrictions on still making travel memories for business or pleasure. So book your next stay with confidence by calling 1-800-222-2244 or visit our website at shilohinns.com. Shiloh Inns, affordable excellence, American family owned and proud of it.
Sweet Lou's is the place for summertime dining. Enjoy the patio seating at the Coeur d'Alene location and try the new menu items. There's the refreshing seared ahi salad, spicy shrimp tacos, and the bison burger with Havarti cheese. All so good. And Sweet Lou's is also a great place to work with great pay and health benefits available. Apply online today at sweetlouisidaho.com. On Front Avenue in Coeur d'Alene and Highway 95 in Ponderay. Come hungry, stay late, eat well. Sweet Lou's.
I was part of a trading company for 10 years, and I've been with Yokes now as an employee owner, and it's absolutely been a great experience.
Yokes Fresh Market is a family business that takes care of its family.
As summer winds down, head up to Schweitzer for scenic chairlift rides, downhill mountain biking, hiking, and village activities. The resort is open daily, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., weather permitting until Monday, September 6th. For more info, visit Schweitzer.com.
North Idaho's Radio, 1400, 1450 AM and 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to Functional Health Radio, live on this station as well as streaming on NorthIdahoRadio.com. I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness trainer, a coach, and I own a local gym called The Shed. And I'm here with Jill Kahn, and Jill is a licensed marriage and family therapist in Sandpoint. And today, the first topic is, how do we handle all the – it seems like we're going right back in time.
Yep.
And the rules are coming back, the masks question, everything is COVID cases, what's going to happen, fear, anxiety. How can we manage this?
Well, it is something that I think is much more pervasive than we realize. But 49% of Americans feel nervous right now about in-person activities. That's almost half the population. And anxiety disorders affect approximately 18% of Americans. Now, I personally think it might be higher. But then again, I'm a therapist. I have a skewed...
I actually do, too. And I don't know that they're polling kids, too.
Right. And it may not be full-on disorder. But, I mean, anxiety is a huge problem for a large percentage of people. And while it might be just sort of a low-key anxiety, it can trigger physical discomforts like a churning stomach, insomnia, racing heart, sweaty palms. You know, it does affect us. But one of the things that we're looking at as a way to contend with anxiety is curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
So curiosity is really special to me because it was the topic of my master's thesis.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I think that curiosity is one of those wonderful aspects, but I love to see it linked with healing in this way. So what are we talking about when we say curiosity? So it's the desire to take in knowledge and experience. And when we have this particular mindset, it can stop your anxious brain from thinking of every worst case scenario.
Okay.
So we're switching away from all the bads to kind of opening up. Whereas anxiety drives fear, curiosity invites wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very different shift, that sense of wonder. In a recent study, they found that when we seek new knowledge, uncomfortable feelings like uncertainty shrink. Not only that, but curiosity can temper distress, make us less defensive and less reactive to stress.
Okay.
That's something I really want to focus on.
Okay.
I think that's huge because I know for me, when I get stressed, I do tend to be more reactive. But if I can be curious.
And so when you're talking about you question, why am I feeling this way?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it activates the same reward centers of the brain that get triggered when we learn something new or accomplish a goal. And like that goal achievement and learning, a curious mindset can elicit a dopamine boost, that feel-good neurotransmitter mm-hmm. that unleashes feelings of pleasure and joy. So thinking about that, you know, I think when your mind gets changed and that biochemical reaction happens, that combination can really help beat anxiety.
Yeah.
So if you notice, I mean, some of us are really getting anxious about what's going to happen. We don't know.
I know that I am.
Yes.
You know, and I think about already, even going into the grocery store again, should I be putting on a mask or should I not? That whole is taking space in my brain again.
Yes, indeed. And I do think that that is something I'm, you know, for a while we had felt like, okay, I'm vaccinated, we're outside, you know, I feel pretty safe. But then as I'm seeing the numbers of people with the Delta variant most likely and stronger reactions, their breakthrough cases as well,
sure.
Then we start to really get this just pervasive low anxiety. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if, when you notice yourself having that, you know, do something like take pictures. You might use your phone camera. I'm old school, right? I take my little camera with me. Go outside and look at the world through a different lens, right? That can be really, really helpful. And I find for me, I'm loving taking pictures of the puppies or my flowers or the sunsets, the sky. Just
that's what I'm doing. So that's funny because I, you know, we talked about my garden. But I have these amazing clients, friends in New York, and we are constantly now exchanging photos of everyday life to try to come together and connect. And it is takes your mind off the stresses that they're going to be going through. New York is not a great place to be right now. And then here, you know, but just taking these pictures and having conversations about it takes us completely into a different zone.
It does indeed. Yeah. So that camera can really shift your mm-hmm. lens. That's a good strategy. This can be called wonder spotting, and it's a very helpful way to crush anxiety. And then as you're looking around at your surroundings, taking it in, you could say, what is beautiful or interesting about this moment? Mm-hmm. We know that whenever we move, so anxiety is really future oriented.
Yeah.
So if we're stressing about the future, but we pull ourselves back into the present mm-hmm. and really notice what's around us, what we're experiencing, it totally changes that.
Yeah.
We went out on the boat last night on our neighbor's boat, which is such a nice treat. And just that shift in scenery, mm-hmm. different boat from ours, but we went further on the lake, feeling the air. And it was pretty clear last night.
Yes.
It was nice.
It was.
But we did go look at the fires at Trestle Creek, and it was sort of shocking how bad they are. But that change of scenery, change of venue, and just being open to that, being in the moment, how did it feel?
It's a little bit of a reset.
It's definitely a reset. Yeah. I found myself just relaxing into the experience mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. joy and wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we need to do that. So knowledge-driven questions can evoke this interest curiosity, which helps the brain focus on possibilities instead of problem solving. And when the mind peers through the window of wonder, we focus on the journey instead of the destination. Mm-hmm. All of that's that present orientation. When we're grounded in the here and now, anxiety loses its ammunition because worries are almost always about the future.
Yeah.
So that's really important to shift that lens. So I like this one. One of the strategies they say is practice empathic curiosity. So that means being curious about the thoughts and feelings of others. And it can help us challenge the sweeping generalization that anxiety brings. So I find that that's one of the strategies I use a lot in my practice.
Well, I bet. Because mm-hmm. when I was reading about this questioning, asking questions, this is exactly what you do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's really, I love it. It does spark wonder. I'm so interested in how other people experience reality.
Yeah.
Different
and just,
from mine.
And learning I think it's amazing how the steps and what you can do to be a better listener and really studying body movement and expression in also the words.
Yes.
So it's like, it's really, I'm excited about it.
So yes. Is there more there that you want to say about that?
Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue that discussion. But yeah, showing empathy and really listening, I think will make a huge difference in your lives. Jeff and I were practicing it this last weekend and just getting to, so what I hear you're saying is so much healthier than interjecting and deciding what they're saying.
Yes.
You know, right? All right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue that talk.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
The Demolition Derby returns to the Bonner County Fairgrounds Saturday, August 21st. It's an evening of car passion, bumper passion fun for the entire family. This year's event will also feature mini car and outlaw heats. Drivers will earn cash prizes as well as trophies provided by Woods Crushing and Hauling. Tickets are on sale now at Les Schwab and Sandpoint Superdrug and at the Fairgrounds office. The annual Demolition Derby, Saturday, August 21st at the Bonner County Fairgrounds.
Don't miss out on life's unforgettable moments. You have adventures waiting and challenges to tackle. And now, P1FCU can help you anywhere life takes you. If you need to make a loan payment, a simple transfer, or even apply for a loan, P1FCU's video banking has you covered. It's real banking with real people. Download the app or visit p1fcu.org to get started. P1FCU, a Pacific Northwest original since 1938. Insured by NCUA.
I'm Tiffany. I have some tips for you on how to quit smoking like I did. First, I did some reading about it. I found a lot of great advice on how to quit smoking and picked out the ways I thought would work best for me. I started by setting a quit date. Then I threw out my ashtrays, lighters, and matches. I did other things too, like exercising more, and it worked. But I'd still get cravings, especially on long car rides. To help me with that, I put a picture of my mother in my car. She died of lung cancer from smoking cigarettes when I was only 16. Now I have a 16-year-old daughter. That picture of my mother reminds me that I don't want to miss all the things my daughter is going to do in her life, including turning 17.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Now is the time to gear up and get those projects taken care of. Let Thick and Thin Beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel, desktop, or beams up to 44 feet long. Just about anything you can dream up, the guys at TNT can help design. Be sure to check with Thick and Thin Lumber first for all your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive pricing, stop by the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out their website, tntbeams.com.
97.1 FM, 1400 KSPT, and 1450 KBFI.
Welcome back to Functional Health Radio. We're live on the station as well as streaming on NorthIdahoRadio.com. I'm Jen Barden. I have a hoarse throat from the smoke. I'm a fitness trainer, a coach, and I own a gym here in Sandpoint called The Shed. And I'm here with Jill Kahn, and Jill is a licensed marriage and family therapist who has a practice in Sandpoint as well. And we're talking about anxiety because it's out there. It's back.
Yep.
It's increasing. But we're also talking about how to listen and ask questions and curiosity and empathy. And I love this topic because I really think if we were all had a little bit more empathy and a little more patience and listened, it might be a little different.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think oftentimes we make assumptions about the other person. Yeah. You might, you know, think your friend is mad. But then if you step back and say, well, I wonder what's going on for this person today. And we oftentimes only see through a narrow framework. Like the other night, my husband said something that kind of like took me aback. And I was a little upset about it. And my son came to me and he said, hey, Mom, did you realize that Dad was really nervous about giving a speech the other night? He was shaking up there.
Wow.
And I said, really? He said, yeah, he was shaking. I said, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't even, he seems always so comfortable.
Right.
But that awareness of kind of putting myself in his shoes, it took away any of the sting, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, now I get it. right?
Well, good for your son.
I know. That was it was really mindful of him. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, especially for activities or situations like that where we are stressed, we tend to regress and be more self-absorbed. Mm-hmm. And if we can counter that, balance that by saying, okay, let me just put myself in the back seat for a minute and say, I wonder what's going on with them. What they, mm-hmm. what might they be experiencing? Which is what I call in my spiritual work, external considering. Mm. That really, it makes the world very different.
Right.
When we have this sense of compassion for, oh, that person is experiencing something that's troubling them or disturbing them. So that's really important. Empathic curiosity motivates you to wonder about the other person, and that moves anxiety out. Mm-hmm. So not only can it relieve distress, but it makes us more empathetic toward others. So that sort of
goes with the listening and asking, you know, open-ended questions instead of yes or no, right?
What's going on with you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really then taking time not to decide what's going on with them. It's hard for me. You know, I've taken a lot of years to try to practice this because I remember, especially when I was younger, just never really listening, just kind of budging through everything and just assuming, making assumptions. Well, they're acting this, or they're mad because of this, or and not taking the time to go, oh, no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so help me understand what's going on for you.
Exactly.
And that does make us a lot more compassionate. So that's related to the next piece, which is become an emotional detective. Anxiety isn't always a reliable danger signal. If you misread suggestions, like indoor mask wearing for doom and gloom, or believe bad things are bound to happen, become an emotional detective. So challenge those beliefs and kind of look for other evidence. Ask yourself, what do I think will happen? And what information do I have that this is true? You can also ask, is there another explanation? So practicing this exercise can help you move from reactive to being curious. And that makes it easier to trust true predictions instead of anxious fictions. Yeah?
Yeah.
So being really questioning. Practice curiosity-driven self-compassion. When I'm anxious, this researcher says, I use self-compassion to unlock curiosity. So maybe sit down and take a moment and ask yourself, what am I afraid of and why? So really looking mm-hmm. in and assessing, what's that all about? Maybe you're worried that you won't feel safe out in public. Whatever it is, that when you first acknowledge what your feelings are, then it removes you from them a little bit. You're not just letting it drive you. You're saying, oh, there's that anxiety. And you're a bit distanced from that, which gives you the ability to say, should I be? Is that realistic?
And I think, you know, I was thinking of a story that I was listening to today in the gym. And one person is gone from being pretty confident, being in public, going, working out, and she chose to be vaccinated and was fine until family from out of town came in and really drilled that it's not safe. It's not, you know, and so the whole, now that's filled her brain. And I don't know that she's had time to really sort through how she believes.
Right.
And it makes me kind of sad to see her miss out on her life.
Yes.
Because of someone else's fears.
Right.
You know,
right.
So taking that time, I think, and asking, are you anxious because of your own personal issues? Or is it being influenced by others?
Yeah. No, it is interesting. And there are all those other factors involved. You know, obviously there are some people who are much higher risk.
Absolutely.
Than others
yes.
are. And I think if we say to ourselves, what is my relative risk in this situation? And it may be different from this other person's.
For sure.
Yeah. So also I think self-observing mm-hmm. and having compassion. Like for me, I know I get sometimes even upset with myself when I'm stressed, mm-hmm.
yeah.
which is a waste of energy. And rather than being upset with myself, okay, this is why you're feeling stressed. And, you know, I was going to sit down and actually write out, what did I learn about this this weekend about what really activates my stress centers.
Yeah.
And what could I do differently so that I don't do that
again?
Yeah,
I'm still finding that it's little things that never used to bother me really get me agitated.
Me too.
And I think it's just kind of this backlog of all the stuff that's happened, build up. And I'm really exhausted and tired of allowing myself to get irritated from little things.
I know. And I do notice the same thing, Jennifer. It's when I'm having a house full of people, when things are put in the wrong place or not put away, or I think what I tend to do is to use keeping order as a way of managing my anxiety.
Yeah, you're in control of that.
Yes, right? That's one thing you're in control of, right? And when other people come in, you lose that control.
And I'm finding that I only have so much time that I can handle the group scene.
Yes.
Whereas I used to not care.
Yes.
And now it's like, okay.
Yes. Yes. There are times
time
we have
alone time.
Again. Alone time becomes really important. Let me go for a walk.
Yeah.
Let me go do yoga.
Yeah.
So do you have more about the listening that you'd like to share?
Well, I think it's just important. You know, I live in a world of two political beliefs and vaccine, not non-vaccinated. I don't tend to get as one side is better than the other. I have beliefs, and people that I love have different beliefs, but I respect that they have different beliefs.
Yes.
And I think part of that is because I've taken the time to really listen and evaluate that there's not just, it's not just, well, I just think it's stupid or because so-and-so said it is. There are real legitimate reasons that there's fear on both sides.
Yes. Yes.
And I want to just respect that. And I decide to make that. We've talked about it before. That kindness thing really stands out for us. It's not a fight that I even care to get into because I want everyone to live their best life.
Absolutely.
And I want us to be able to be respectful. I mean, that is what we're supposed to be about.
And I think that's what it comes down to is I don't want to divide the world into agree with me and disagree with me and make judgments about other, because there are too many people who I know and care about and respect who have different beliefs from mine.
And that's a beautiful thing, because if they all believe like me, that would be kind of boring.
Yeah, it would be. It's true. So, yeah, I think just that openness and curiosity about help me understand how you see the world.
Right.
How does that feel for you? And,
Yeah, I think another thing is when you're in these relationships and you want to be a better listener and you want to heal and you want to help the people that are in your lives heal, and this could even be workplace, really try not to give advice. And that is a tough one for me. I'm an advice giver. But that's not what they need to – they're not asking.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't even think – they're probably not asking in your line of work either. You know, they just want to be heard and maybe kind of – create their own answers.
So what I find is super relevant is in couples, couples don't want advice from their partners unless they ask for it. And what I tell people over and over again is do not offer advice before you acknowledge your partner's feelings. That is, it must precede any kind of advice giving, right? Yeah. So what we really need more than anything else initially is someone to be attuned enough to know that we're in distress, to ask us about it, to be curious, and to really have some acknowledgement or empathy for what we're feeling. That's the base level.
Yeah.
And it before you can go to any kind of problem solving or fixing, that empathy needs to be established.
Because with that comes that trust.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so that's really what I try to do as a therapist as well, is that I want people to feel really heard and understood and that there is some compassion for what they're experiencing. Now, we might move to problem solving after that.
Right.
But the empathy must come first.
Yeah. Do you know, are women more fixers than men, or are men more fixed in relationships?
Well, that's
That's
an interesting question, Jennifer. I think that women want to fix relationships.
Okay.
That they oftentimes are motivated to what's wrong in our relationship? How do we make it better?
Okay.
But what men really have a hard time with is when their female partners are in distress.
Mm-hmm.
When their partner is upset, they immediately want to fix it.
Yeah.
And that's where they get into trouble is, have empathy. Yeah. That's
it's a challenge to change that way, but it's so effective if you can.
Yes.
It just takes time and work.
It does. For sure.
Okay, let's take our final break, and when we come back, hopefully we'll jump into the we're parents too.
Let's talk about some
of these toxic things that I'm sure I've done all of them.
Oh, yes.
But I thought it was a really interesting article. So when we come back, we'll talk about parenting and the toxic things we can do. So this is Functional Health Radio.
Have you visited Grünberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet lately? They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, and they now stock ammo and knives as well. Of course, Grünberg Schloss carries U.S. and world coins and paper money, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5 on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Call 208-263-6060. Grünberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet, 263-6060.
Ready to head out on your next Idaho adventure? Before you do, there are a few simple steps to keep Idaho's outdoors a place for all to enjoy. Plan ahead and be prepared with extra water. Pack out all your trash. Help prevent wildfires by putting your campfire dead out. Finally, please be courteous and treat the land, water, wildlife, and other recreationists with respect. For more information on how you can recreate responsibly this summer, visit recreate.idaho.gov.
1 in 8 women will experience breast cancer. Annual screening mammograms beginning at age 40 offer the best strategy for catching cancer early. Mammography is the only test scientifically proven to reduce deaths from breast cancer. The data doesn't lie. Early detection saves lives. Schedule your annual screening mammogram today. Call 509-455-4455. Ask us about evening and weekend appointments. Inland Imaging. For answers you can trust and care you can count on.
Hi, this is Lauren.
And Eve.
With Knutson Chevrolet.
Knutson's summer sell-down is on, and we have lots of Silverados, Equinoxes, Camaros, Tahoes, Suburbans, Colorados, and Blazers on their way.
Can't find quite what you're looking for? Call us, send us an email, or stop on by, and we'll order one just the way you want it.
If something pre-owned fits your budget better, take advantage of our Knutson summer sell-down for our best selection of GM-certified pre-owned vehicles.
Knutson Chevrolet is your family-owned, family-operated dealership that puts customer service above all else.
Visit Knutson.com to schedule your at-home test drive and even purchase your next vehicle online using ShopClick Drive.
Find new roads at Knutson Chevrolet.
Minutes west of Coeur d'Alene, just a short drive east of Spokane at 1900 East Polston Avenue, Post Falls.
Knutson Chevrolet, hard to say, easy to save.
Business is built on connections, and with Square, you can connect every side of your business with tools that all work together. From your customers and your sales to your staff and your schedules, everything is in sync, so you can get a head start on shaping what's to come. See how Square can help connect every side of your business by visiting square.com/go/connect. That's square.com/go/connect.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
Welcome back to Functional Health Radio. It's live on this station as well as streaming right now on NorthIdahoRadio.com. I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness trainer, a coach, and I own a gym called The Shed here in Sandpoint, and I'm with Jill Kahn. Jill is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and she has her practice also in town. And we've been talking about anxiety and empathy, and now parenting.
Well, because a lot of parents are struggling with all of the ramifications with their children and spending more time with them, all of that. So let's talk about some of these common behaviors that can be really toxic. So the first one is yelling.
Yeah.
Now, a caveat here, oftentimes kids will say, "Stop yelling at me."
Right.
And you're not really yelling, but you have a stern, raised voice, right? So they can perceive
there
that.
There is a,
yelling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You haven't actually heard yelling yet.
But oftentimes we do. I mean, I think all of us at times have lost our patience and yelled at our kids. And That's not going to be harmful if it happens infrequently. And when it does happen, we come back and say, you know, I'm sorry, I lost my temper. I feel bad that I yelled at you, and make amends. Then it's not a big deal. But what we're talking about is doing it repetitively.
So
yelling can work in certain situations when you really have to get attention quickly. But beyond that, it's not an effective form to get kids to change their behavior. So knowing that, and also understanding that if there is a lot of yelling going on, it can lower your kids' self-esteem and also lead them to develop more aggressive behaviors themselves. So when I hear a parent saying, well, it's the only way they'll listen to me, I think, uh-oh.
You're right.
That's not a good, that's a good, not a good indicator. So I think for us as parents, what we need to do is do what you need to do to calm down and get a little bit of the tension outside of yourself so that you can refocus and engage in a calmer way with your children. And I used to, what I would do if I found myself getting agitated, I would say, I'm going to go breathe. And I would go up to my room and take some deep breaths. Sometimes, you know, lie down.
Right.
But that self-calming is really important so that you don't continue to
There's
yell.
Probably quite an increase in yelling because of their – I mean, I can't imagine – my girls are all grown. I can't imagine what it would have been like going through all this working and having the kids home, trying to keep them focused. It would be like a real challenge.
And the parents I'm talking with do say it's really difficult. Mm-hmm. It's totally changed the sense of boundaries, and the kids are not as actively engaged. It's too much screen time. That affects them too. Anyway, so the yelling's a problem. But another thing is comparing siblings.
Yes.
Right? Now, we all know, I know that was something that happened in my family of origin mm-hmm. all the time. And as a parent, I know those thoughts cross my mind too, right? We start looking at how they're different. But how we express that can be problematic. If we think it, but if we say it out loud, whether it's to motivate or discipline the child, and that's a really common behavior, and it's called parental differential treatment. Mm. PDT is the acronym for it. But that really creates problems with kids.
I know that I didn't do that with my daughters, but I know that it happened because we all grew up in the same town.
Yes.
And so I had it with coaches and teachers I grew up here. So I had the whole, and sometimes the kids liked that. And
right.
Other times it was really negative for them. And it wasn't any, they were just was an awareness from whoever was doing it. But it did make an impact.
Yes. So that's really tricky.
Yeah.
Not, how do we do that? Because we can't help but notice
sure.
differences. But we don't want to label our kids as mm-hmm. this or that. And that really interferes with them having that fluidity and growth and development, I think.
Right.
Yeah. And I remember one family where one kid was the pretty kid, one was the smart kid, and one was the athletic one, right?
Yeah.
And the truth is, they all were all three.
Yeah.
So similarly, labeling your kids can be really problematic because labels can become self-fulfilling and hard to shake, right? Even positive labels can be problematic. And again, it's like you're smart or you're athletic. Those sorts of things stay with us
right.
and limit us.
I think I had that because I was always the athlete.
Right.
And I struggled in school.
Yeah.
But that just kind of was like, well, yeah, well, because I'm an athlete, this is what I do.
Yeah.
Instead of getting more encouragement to, oh, that was a great science project or whatever, that would have probably helped me. Because even today, it's like school, I have anxiety about school still.
Yes, we do have to really be careful. And instead of that, what we can do is descriptive praise. So make an effort to notice specific actions throughout the day that are positive and give them praise for that.
Yeah.
You know, I saw that you helped your sibling. That's really wonderful to see that compassion for them. Or, you know, I see how responsible you are when you did that. Or, you know, I saw how hard you were trying today. I'm proud of your effort. So that's a very different thing than limiting them with labels.
Yeah.
So the next one is quieting emotions. I don't know that I really like that term. I think I like the term being emotionally dismissive, right? What we want to do is to teach our children that it's okay to have feelings. What the problem is that we make them feel as though certain emotions are not okay.
Okay.
So stifling certain emotions. If your child comes home and they're angry, you may try to say, well, calm down. Or, right. You know, you shouldn't be angry about that. Well, anger is a valid emotion.
Right.
And we can get them to say, tell me about that.
What's
that
like?
Oh, we
can go to the listening with empathy.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Right.
So any emotion that makes a parent uncomfortable can tend to be dismissed.
It's probably really important not – this is a big one.
It is a big one.
Because this is how people can kind of become avoidant.
Yes.
With issues and emotions and, all right, situations.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Because you learn that if you express certain emotions, whether it's anxiety or if it's anger or if it's sadness, if you get a negative response from your parents who basically telling you this, don't feel that way, then you don't feel safe being who you are.
Okay.
Yeah. So we really want to encourage our children to label their feelings. Tell me what are you feeling here? You know, maybe even give them a chart of faces or words that they can identify. Oh, this is what I feel. Name it, let it be okay. And then give them the sense it's okay to have those feelings. It's not okay to act in certain ways that are hurtful to others, but the feelings are not wrong or bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we want to make sure that we don't tell them, you know, stop being a baby or don't cry, I'll give you something to cry about. Those kinds of things are not healthy for our children.
Right.
So if, for example, if you get upset with yourself for doing something, share that. You know, I'm so frustrated with myself. I forgot to get the milk. And then after acknowledging how you feel, you can model the coping and problem solving skills. So you might even say, I'm going to take some deep breaths to calm down, right? That helps me. So walk your child through the paces of understanding his or her feelings. Help them to talk about them and show them how to manage the frustration or fear that induced those feelings. So the last one is the always and never, or you're making me, right? So we talked about this before, that in couples therapy, you do not want to tell your partner, you always do that, you never do that. The same is true with your children. It isn't accurate, and it's not productive. So think about, again, specificity rather than using that always or never. And the other thing to be careful of is you're making me, right? Mm. You're making me crazy, or you make me frustrated, or you know, that kind of thing. Your child's not responsible for your emotions or your state of being. And be very mindful of putting your feelings on them and shaming them in that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I had one of my athletes came in about a month ago. And the parent had said something about, you always say this. And he was super worried. Do I really always? I'm like, well, not here. And it's fine, you know?
Yeah.
We talk the way we talk, and it's just an expression.
Yes.
But it made an impact.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Those are great, and I've done all of them. So
I think
when
most
I
of
have
us
grandkids,
have.
Hopefully I will not. Something to work on. Yeah. I know I'll be a better listener. So,
yes.
Yeah. Well, yes. Another great show. Thanks, Jill. I hope your weekend next weekend is more relaxing.
Well, it will be. I think things are slowing down. I just knew this was a big event to get through, and it's joyful, but
it's awesome.
It requires a lot of effort.
Yeah. Well, it's been great, and I will see you in a month. I get to go get a massage. Self-care.
Yay!
There we go.
All right. Good for you.
All right. This has been Functional Health Radio.